Looking to transform your family game nights? At Perfectly Picked Games, we specialize in family games that bring everyone closer. Our games aren't just fun. Kids and teens will learn how to take turns, develop basic strategy skills, and understand the thrill of winning and grace of losing. With our exclusive gift of games, you can give months of gaming excitement to your family. Choose a 3-month or 6-month gift, and we'll deliver hand-picked family games to your doorstep every month. And here's the best part. Right now, you can use the promo code GOLDENMOJO and receive 20% off your selected plan. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer. Use promo code GOLDENMOJO and save 20% today at Perfectly Picked Games.
It's time to jump into the Wayback Machine and go back to the 80s. I am your host, Golden Jay, and with me, as always, is Frankie Vegas.
Hey.
And we are here to take you back to one of the greatest decades ever. So don't fall into a pit.
Don't fall into a pit.
Just do it. Let's go.
Do it.
More like don't fall into a barrel of toxic waste.
Don't fall into a barrel of toxic waste in the middle of the 80s. It just is not going to turn out well for you.
No.
With us today, AC McCray. I am excited to meet you and to talk to you a little bit before we start talking about the movie we're going to talk about.
AC.
Yeah.
Writer, director, producer, wrestler, radio DJ.
A lot of half good things. Not even fully good, but half good things along the way.
Do you fall into that jack of all trades type thing?
If you were talking to my wife, she'd say jackass of all trades. But yeah,
it's
about that.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, unfortunately, mine too. She had a t-shirt made, but
that's a t-shirt you guys need now. That's golden 80s on the front, and then on the back. I'm just saying.
I can make that happen.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Nothing beats the new Frankie Vegas.
Frankie stays in Frankie.
What kind of podcast is this? I'm a little confused now, guys. Hang on a second.
My nephew, who is part of the United States Paranormal, actually had a Frankie Vegas shirt made up, and it's the Vegas logo basically with the four aces, and it says Frankie Vegas, but on the back of the shirt it says what happens in Frankie stays in Frankie. And to top it all off, this is my nephew. It is a midriff shirt, so it's a cutoff. And he sent video of him wearing this damn shirt. So yeah, it was a good time.
I love Logan.
I don't know if that's going to be available or if that's just a one-off shirt. I don't know.
Oh, it should be on the website.
I don't know. If I can get cutoffs, you know it's going to be on there.
I just want what happens in Frankie to stay in Frankie. Please, let's just keep that in there. Yeah. We don't need any of that stuff.
We don't need the, it's TMI. We don't need to know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But anyway. But yeah. So AC, what we're going to talk about today is the, we're going to go right into it.
We're going to go right into it?
Go right into it. We don't need to do question of the pod.
80s edition.
Suck it, Colton. But yeah, we're going to go right into it because we're kind of on a time schedule right now.
A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit, but not too much.
Not too bad.
But just, I think we have a lot to talk about with AC.
Right on.
So we're going to talk about the Toxic Avenger from Troma Films. And AC is kind of an expert on that. He knows, a lot of the guys from Troma and you've worked with them. And yep. Now, do you actually know anybody that worked on the actual film?
Lloyd Kaufman himself, writer-director of Toxic Avenger. Yeah, Lloyd and I go back pretty much. Well, let me go back in time. You guys are taking us back to the 80s. Let me take you back to a different time, the early 2000s, real quick.
Okay.
I was just getting out of high school thinking I was going to be the next big thing in acting, but I didn't really care so much about Hollywood. I wanted to be in trauma movies. I worked in a video store in high school. So, you know, that's a lost profession that kids these days definitely don't get that benefit of. You just get to sit around and watch movies all day. Right. But I stumbled into trauma movies even before in my youth. I had seen trauma movies, you know, USA's Up All Night and the Toxic Crusaders cartoon and stuff. So I was always kind of exposed to it, but I found the copy of the Toxic Avenger in the video store because the owner of the store is like, oh, it's just too graphic, too violent. I'm like, well, I'm buying it then. And that was my introduction to trauma. So I'm glad to be here talking about that specifically. Mm-hmm. So that was 20 years ago. My goal has never been Hollywood. It's always been, I want to work with Lloyd. I want to work for Lloyd and gain his approval. And here we are almost 25 years since then. And Lloyd's a friend. And I've got to work for and with him, with some of the new upcoming directors for Troma, and just hoping to do a lot more with them in the coming time, work conventions for them for a time as well. So, a lot of the stuff that I've done in my career outside of Troma has been horror based and the B movie stuff, because that's the kind of stuff that I grew up watching. You know, you go to the video store and you see those that box art. It's not the same with streaming. I think you guys would probably agree.
Oh, absolutely. Look at all the pictures.
It's not the same as the box art that we used to get that was just beautiful. But I absolutely fell in love with Troma back then, and still love them, and just to get to do stuff with them is just a huge blessing in my life, and just great times, hard work, but great times.
Yeah. I mean, now every time I see a Toxic Avenger, I think of AC. I do. He's the one. I mean, I was telling Jeremy, I watched the Toxic Avenger back when I was in high school in the 80s, but I was high when I watched it the first time. And yeah, when you watch it as an adult, you watch it as an adult and you're not on anything, you're just like, what the fuck?
Well, let me give you guys sort of the tip that I give everybody that's kind of like that with Troma. If you go in watching it as a movie and nothing else, you can either like it or dislike it, just like any other movie. But if you go in knowing that there's more to it, that Lloyd always puts in a sense of social satire and social commentary in the films and with what was going on at the time and things and all the trauma movies, especially in the 80s and 90s. That's, if you kind of look at it from that perspective, you might have a different appreciation for it than just, oh man, what the heck is this? But that's just kind of, you know, trauma is not for everybody. It's an acquired taste. Some people don't like the ultra violence, but me, it's blood, it's boobs, it's, you know, graphic everything. And I'm just excited to see that kind of stuff because it's just fun. It takes me back to the 80s when I was watching these movies from the video stores.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and it did. The movie, you know, it's terrible acting, but it did make me laugh in several parts, you know. Yeah. And it did have Marissa Tomei in it, which is probably the only Oscar winner that's ever worked in a trauma movie.
Don't make me go down the list. Kevin Costner, Sam Jackson, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Lots more.
I think now you're going to have to expand your trauma list there, Frankie.
I'm going to have to now.
I'm going to give you homework when we're done with this, Frankie. Oh, okay. We're going to get some homework going your way. You're going to have trome work.
Trome work. Okay. But yeah. But
That just clicked. That just clicked in my brain.
Trome work. So, AC, you're kind of the expert here on trauma. So, why don't I let you explain the premise of the movie to everybody?
So the Toxic Avenger, for the uninitiated, is the story of Melvin. He's a typical nerdy 98-pound weakling working at a gym in the 80s. So it's full of all sorts of colorful characters, the least of which are a group of sadistic sort of scumbag teenagers that like to, you know, play a hit and run game where they drive around town and run over whoever they can run over to get points. And they love doing it. They love the thrill of it. And they especially love messing with Melvin at the gym, though. So they set up this whole scheme to get Melvin into a 2-2, thinking he's going to get with one of the girls. And unfortunately, it's more of a setup for him. he freaks out, runs out, and falls out a window, or more jumps, depending on your view of it. But he falls out a window into a vat of toxic waste, which is just outside, parked there while the guys in the truck are doing cocaine, because it was the 80s. You had to park your truck with toxic waste to do your cocaine.
I love the fact that the barrels had no lids on them.
It was the 80s. Come on. Did they really have to have lids?
But, well, it was the toxic dump capital of the world. So
So he falls in. He becomes this hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength, the Toxic Avenger, and his traumaton, sort of his force, if you will, that tells him who's good, who's bad, tells him, hey, take care of these people, clean up the streets, protect Tromaville. And he, of course, over the course of four movies now, and hopefully eventually a fifth. I keep pestering Lloyd about doing a fifth one, but he hasn't found a story he likes yet, last I heard. But he just saves Tromaville, and that's the, you know, in other parts he goes to Japan for a little while and alternate dimensions, and we don't need to get into that. But the first one, he's just saving Tromaville. He's your friendly neighborhood Toxic Avenger.
With the pink tutu.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, but it was, you know, I was telling my wife, because my wife just couldn't understand why I was watching this movie. And I told her, I go, but here's the thing. It's a trauma film, and they're just different. I go, but the story and the idea was not bad.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if a high budget, I don't know what the new take on it, the 2023 movie, if it's a more higher budget, or I know it's got higher budget actors on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole different beast to itself, because, you know, the reboots and all this stuff that we're currently in experiencing as a world in general outside of trauma movies, if it's been made, it's going to get remade at this point. And I don't really know. I haven't seen that one yet. I've heard a lot of good things, and I was very hesitant about it at first when they announced it. And I talked to Lloyd. I'm like, Lloyd, I really don't like this idea. Why would they touch such a classic movie, especially one of yours? And he was very clear on it. He's like, no, the guy that's directing it, Macon Blair, he knows trauma better than I do. Feels like Lloyd understands now that his career is kind of winding down, for as much as he still does. And he knows that the next generation that's what his job is to get them prepared. So Macon Blair, people like Heidi Moore that I worked with on Kill Dolly Kill, coming out from trauma last year into this year. Liam Reagan, so many other, I can't name them all, but there's so many talented filmmakers that Lloyd is just mentoring and sort of helping to get to that next level, because he cares about film in general. So I don't know what the new one's going to be like. I've heard good things, and I think with a bigger budget, it's going to be a little bit more restricted, although we've seen with Terrifier, maybe not so restricted, but we'll see how it goes. I'm enjoying the resurgence of trauma, especially in a year where a movie I was in is coming out too. That'll help.
Yeah. When did Kill Dolly Kill come out?
So it premiered last year at Fantastic Fest in Austin, to good reviews, along with the Toxic Avenger reboot. It premiered a couple days before that one. I think last I heard from Heidi, the director, they've got a screening in DC set for the end of this month or possibly next month. And then it's going to be doing a film festival run. So if it's at a film festival near you, Kill Dolly Kill, check it out. And hopefully I'll be at some of those screenings as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And who do you play in that movie?
I have a couple characters, actually. I play a sleazy sort of strip club owner, Big Fat Vic, and then one of the sadistic orderlies at the Tromaville Mental Hospital, Bruno, who's just me and this guy, Ed Haynes, played Gino. And so it was Bruno and Gino, and we were just these absolute Tweedledee, Tweedledum scumbags in this mental facility. And it was a lot of fun. You know, will we get our comeuppance? It's a trauma movie, so you just have to watch and see, but it's worth it.
Now, where did you guys film that at?
We were out in Vegas filming that. They filmed it, part of it here in Indiana and part of it in Las Vegas. I was part of the Vegas crew. So it was really cool to go out and, you know, be literally blocks off the strip and just be in the middle of a desert in a warehouse, just filming all this stuff. And it was a unique sort of, situation, because when we signed on for the movie, it was not a trauma movie. It was just being made by a local group here based on a script, the first Dolly Deadly movie that Heidi Moore did a few years ago, and then they delayed it, and we were like, just wait, guys, just wait, it's gonna be great. and then sprung it on us. Hey, Lloyd picked it up. Troma's going to be producing this. It's going to be awesome. Check it out. I'm going to turn some extra light on here. I'm sorry, I have to be in the car right now. But yeah, so I was out in part of the Vegas unit that was shot. I was there 2 days, but I think they shot like a week overall. 17-hour days. Everything you ever heard a Troma movie being, you know, dirty bathrooms and everybody just being all up in everybody's business. And that's exactly what it was. I slept, you know, foot to face with a guy, with Ed, the guy played Gino, on an air mattress in an Airbnb that we have there. So, yeah, it's those kinds of things that you remember. And that's, you know, I don't care about Hollywood. They can put you up in trailers and fancy hotels. I want to make movies with my friends. And that, to me, was what we did. We made movies with friends. And
there you go.
It was just a really fun time out there. A lot of Lloyd wasn't there for that filming, but he is in the movie, has a funny little role, and he produced the whole thing. So better yet, it's set in Tromaville. So I literally get to be in the same universe as the Toxic Avenger and Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD and, you know, all these other movies they did. Yeah. So it's not just a distributed by Troma movie, even though it is, it's very much a part of the Tromaville world that Lloyd has created over 50 years now.
Oh, wow.
I had one. Hold on. Okay. I had one. No. Oh. So does Lloyd do a lot of the cameos in his movies that he produces or directs?
He seems to. He seems to do a cameo in anything for anybody who will throw him some money, because he's Lloyd.
Right.
I'm just kidding, Lloyd. If you watch this, don't not hire me again. No, Lloyd's great, but he's, you know, you can read the books and, you know, read things that Trey Parker and Matt Stone have said when they distributed Cannibal the Musical through him or whatever. About him being infamously cheap. They had to pay for his lunch at their meeting to get their movie distributed. So we all like to joke about that, but he's really, in all honesty, this is a secret that maybe he doesn't want out there. Lloyd is one of the nicest guys ever, like just ever. When my son passed in 2011, he was one of the first people to call me. When I saw him that weekend after, he immediately just hugged me, kissed me. He's like, "Hey, anything you need, I'm here for you, man." And you know, to have somebody that you idolized in high school as one of your filmmaking icons be that receptive to being in your life and being your friend is just fantastic. You know, he's a dad, he's a husband, he's a grandfather, and he's great at all those things. But he's, you know, he's just a good guy. But going back to the point here, he'll do pretty much any movie that he feels is worth what he needs to do. He'll jump right in and help anybody out, because again, he loves film, he loves cinema. His wife Pat was the New York State Film Commissioner for many years before she retired, so you know, it, just a love of film in their family entirely. But yeah, nice. he does a lot of these. And in this in Kill Dolly Kill, he plays he's a doctor that loves pushing his prescriptions. It's great, great stuff.
It sounds like an amazing time. I love the fact that, you know, that you're out there doing what you love to do, regardless of whether or not it's going to be like a blockbuster hit or whatever. You're just out there doing it because you love to do it. I know that in my experience with just shooting music videos and stuff around here, you know, some of the best times that I've had was, you know, standing out there in the middle of winter in a, you know, a 6-foot snowdrift, so you can get a certain shot that you're looking for. You know, just there's nothing greater about that than just doing that. So,
yeah. And so you absolutely get it. I mean, it's so many people want the Hollywood dream, but the Hollywood dream is just garbage. Like it's truly garbage. Yeah, you can be rich, you can make a living acting, and that's great. But as we just saw with all the arguments between the unions and everything out there in Hollywood, like I was ready to go the whole time. Like, hire me. I don't care. I'll take a job any day, and I'm not a Hollywood type. So,
right.
You know, it is what it is, but yeah. I like people who like the passion for what they do. Like you said, standing on a 6-foot snowdrift in the middle of winter, knowing you might die if somebody drives past you and you fall off that snowdrift and you get hit by a car, but you're still doing it because you love it. And that's to me what the most important thing is.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely not doing it for clicks and likes.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, I've tried that. It doesn't work.
No.
So, you know, that's the thing. And I always, you know, again, I'm preaching here, you know, but I always tell people, if you want to do it, do it. that was the best advice that, you know, Bruce Campbell said in one of his books. If you want to act, don't worry about being in Hollywood. Just act. You'll get where you need to be. And that's the best advice you can ever have in acting.
Well, we have a lot of avenues. I mean, it's not necessarily movie wise. I mean, we even here in the Warsaw area, we have, the Wagon Wheel Theater. You know, get into that, go get your chops into that. I mean, you know, it's still, you still have to audition and you still have to get to that. But yeah. I mean, you know, we have outlets, we have community theaters in the Fort Wayne area and stuff like that. So, I mean, if that's what you want to do, then just buck up and just go do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You may suck. I got two or three albums that are horrible.
Your albums are great, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, Bruce the Ego. I got to get out of the door here. Hold on.
No, but I get that when you were talking about, standing in a snowdrift just to get the right angle or whatever. I remember working on a film with AC that he was doing, and kind of a tribute to his son. And he kept taking the same shot over and over. And I'm like, come on, dude. It looked the same, but not to him.
It wasn't the right shot. It was slightly off. It wasn't what I wanted. And, you know, that movie was, that's one we don't need to discuss here. That was, I did it as a tribute to my son, and that's what it was. And we raised money for Riley and St. Jude hospitals out of it. And other kids got help. And to me, that's great. As far as the acting, I should have never cast my ex-wife ever, ever.
You never cast a wife.
No, I would probably cast my current wife because she's not horrible. But you know, if my ex-wife watches this again, sorry, I'm just joking. Please don't hate me or whatever.
The views of Frankie Vegas are not the views of Golden Jay, as he would cast his wife in just about anything. That's all I got to say about that.
True. Bobby's a different breed, though.
She's definitely a different breed. My shot in the snowdrift was the video I shot for the tribute to my dad and the song that we wrote the night he passed away. Mm-hmm. It was the 20th anniversary of his passing. And I wanted to shoot the video because I was kind of into all that at that point. And it's funny because you talk about getting the shot. And if you actually listen to the raw footage, you know, me lip syncing the words to the song, you can hear the snow hitting the umbrella that I've got above the camera. So the camera doesn't get all soaking wet. And here I am standing in that snowdrift getting pelted with snow the whole time. But it's all for the art, man. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what Troma is all about. Circling back to that, you know, when Lloyd started this company 50 years ago with his partner, Michael Herz, they just wanted to make movies. They didn't care that they weren't changing the world. And they had some real stinkers at the beginning. If you ever ask, if you ever see Lloyd, ask him about Big Gus, What's the Fuss? It's a movie he wants to bury, and it's all done in Hebrew. It was shot in Israel. He absolutely hates it. I see value in it. I think that there's a really fun story to be told. And he gave me permission to write a script that I've been working on for a few years. So will it ever happen? No, because he's never going to approve it once he reads the script. But he hated this movie at first. But then they also had things at the beginning of Troma too, like the sex comedies, like Squeeze Play and The First Turn On. These were things that directly inspired Porky's, which of course directly inspired all the sex comedies we have now.
Right.
I'm not saying Lloyd created it, but it's very close to the beginning of when the stuff was created. So, you know, it's one of those things where you can't discount the things that Troma has done and done for just the film industry as a whole, the people that they've gotten out there. You know, Madonna was turned down by Troma at one point in time. She was, okay. I believe it was for the Toxic Avenger. She was turned down by Troma and went on to become Madonna. Lloyd loves to tell that story because he loves that he rejected Madonna.
That is funny.
Frankie once rejected Madonna, but it was it was a drag queen. But that's a whole nother
different podcast. What happens
if Frankie stays in Frankie?
Come on, Frankie, come on. You're going too blue here. Is a family show. Family show.
So here's a question. Why did Lloyd use a different name in Toxic Avenger? As a credit.
I, I'm not really sure. I've read his books, and I would encourage everybody to read his books, not to promote all his stuff and everything, but read his books. If I remember correctly, it was something to do with he was planning on making different movies under his real name. Okay. I believe that's what it was, or something to do with crediting at the time, or unions or whatnot. I believe that's the situation that it was there. Sorry, my car is dying on me as we speak.
That's not good.
No. No, but I believe that's why. He had also used a different name. He did some musical adult films back in the day, too, that are locked away in his closet, from what I understand. His wife will never let them be released.
Oh,
but these were legitimate vintage adult films. You can see some of the footage from some of them on some of the box set DVDs, like hidden features. But I think one of them was called The Newcomers.
Oh,
it's a musical. I want to see it, but he won't. He just will not let it out, or Pat won't let it out. Either way, maybe one day.
Maybe.
That's awesome.
Hey, there's money to be made there, probably.
Oh, there is now. I can't. What was his name then? Louis Sue, I believe, was his name then. Is that he was using to direct those movies?
Oh my goodness.
I'm probably giving away too many secrets here, but again, it's Troma. Read the book. I'm sure he's mentioned it.
Probably. Yeah. So, in the movie now, did you know any of the other actors? Have you met any of the other actors that are portrayed in the movie?
In Toxic Avenger?
Yeah.
I've met Mark Torgel, who played Melvin.
Okay.
Very briefly, several years ago. But outside of that, I'm actually looking forward to going to there's a convention in Ohio this fall where the cast is going to be. You're going to have Melvin there, and then of course all four of the bullies, the two girls and the two guys, so they're all going to be there. Mitch Cohen, I believe, was the guy who played the physical form of the Toxic Avenger, and he passed away a couple of years ago, unfortunately. Okay. So I never got to meet him. But I really did have not met anyone else from that that first film specifically. Would really like to, but it's just hard for them to get out and do some things, because yeah, it got to be the right thing. Got to be the right booking for them to go to a convention. And, you know, just one of them's not going to do it. It has to be all of them. So maybe that were 40 years. It's 40 years of the Toxic Avenger now. I just realized that. 40 years this year.
Yeah.
1984, the year that all the good movies were made. I mean, let's be honest. 84 was the movie year of the 80s, in my opinion. You know, Beverly Hills Cop, Ghostbusters, Gremlins. The list goes on and on.
It's Gremlins, the Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only because Christmas sucks and I want to have Halloween at Christmas. So.
Yeah, that's always the debate. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? There you go. Let me ask you that.
Yeah, it happens at Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. Again, Christmas sucks. That's anything that can make Christmas better. Let's do it.
Yeah. He doesn't like Christmas.
I can tell.
I don't want another Christmas shoes. I want to see the Christmas shoes that murder someone. That's what I want to see. The high heel comes off and they start stabbing them with it. That's the movie I want to see at Christmas. I have a Christmas script that I've stole from my stepdad. Wrote a short story years ago about a guy who just can't handle the pressure of shopping and just loses it and just takes out everybody in a department store at Christmas. I think that'd be great to make, because it's, you know, political satire for the current day and age, I guess. Yeah. But this was written 20 years, 30 years ago now. So,
but it's still fitting, you know, though.
Yeah.
But that would be a Christmas movie, even though there's murder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Well,
Bolton's going to be emailing. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just come out. What was the name of the big one that came out? Was it last year? Was it Silent Night or
Violent Night?
Violent Night.
Yeah. David Harbour. Yes.
Yeah. I mean that one apparently did exceptionally well. I guess I don't know. My daughter loved it. She went on and on about it. But
yeah, well, Montana signed in her own spectrum.
She's got a screw loose upstairs. So, you know.
I hear we Terrifier love you, Montana. Is going to be a Christmas movie as well. So, you know, Art the Clown is going to be Santa. Terrifier 3. Coming
Terrifier
soon.
3.
I think hey,
those are great movies. I don't know. Have you seen them,
Jim? I have not.
Terrifier?
I have not.
Those are great movies.
Very much a throwback
for the kill
to the
scenes,
80s.
Man. Get for the kill scenes.
Very much the 80s violence. I talked to the director of that, Damien Leone, after the first one, and he said that's exactly what we were going for, was the 80s feel of the horror movies again. that's, you know, people can be offended all they want, you know, and if anybody gets offended, don't email those guys, email me and we'll square it away.
Yeah, it's, there's something about clowns, man. They're just scary, you know, Terrifier, man. I do. Creepy as hell. Don't you play a clown in one of your movies, Sluggo?
I do. can I say the name of the movie, or should absolutely. We not?
Yeah,
it's called House of Horrors. It's the House of Horrors series. All it is, the movies are, those movies are, so the same people who did Kill Dolly Kill with Troma, that's how I got involved with that group of people. They shot this movie that was supposed to look like a backroom casting couch video of these girls coming to audition. And then these clowns just show up and kill them. That was the whole first movie. And it was just, people loved it. And they're like, okay, let's see what we do with the sequel. And they brought me in on the sequel, and these guys were all gruff and tough. And I'm like, no, I'm going to be the high pitched voice clown. And I had just done a role, where I played, in a different film, played like a knockoff of Curly from the Three Stooges. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to use the same voice. So I kind of talk like this and wear the clown mask and do all that stuff. And you know, and these guys, I just annoyed them. And it was the perfect balance in part two of the House of Horrors series, where there was just so much comedy. It was like an adult cartoon. I mean, they were hammering bonk noises into people getting hit with hammers on the head. And, you know, we had the uncensored version has a 15-minute interlude with a, I don't even know what to call it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody who might actually want to see that. But most of the time I just ran around with, attractive women in a clown mask while being naked. So true story.
Wait. Yep. You were naked or they were naked?
I was naked.
All right. Yep. Just want to make sure we're clarified.
There is nothing sexy about me without my clothes on. Again, feel free to ask my wife. I should probably bring her in on this. But in the scheme of comedy, a guy with a clown mask on, that's supposed to be like this inventor type, you know, laying in bed with a naughty nurse who, Gina Fields was the actress who played Nurse Nina in those films, passed away a couple years ago. Rest in peace, Gina, a good friend of mine. But that's how we got to be good friends is, you know, here's this woman that had been on Jerry Springer laying in bed next to me in a nurse costume. And we're just picking popcorn out of her cleavage because of the scenes we'd shot. You know, it just, that's how you bond with people. It goes back to those good moments in film.
Why was I not invited to be on the set of this movie?
I don't know. Maybe we got to get you in one there. I keep bugging them to do part four and they just don't want to do part four. But when we do, we got to get you guys in there. If I have any say, I don't really have any say, but I'll you know, if they have anything, I'll let you guys know. We'll get you in
all
there.
All right, cool.
I'm down. As long as I don't have to be naked, you don't want none of that. So, I mean, you know,
nobody wanted any of that. There's so many stories that go along with that. And they showed this on a big screen in France and people loved it in France. So they played it again on a weekend, I believe is what the story was. So my naked body was a large size on a phone or on a film screen in France for all sorts of French people that just loved it. Overseas, it did really well. Like I was contacted by like a Norwegian horror blog to talk to them at one point, and it was just really weird for a while there.
That's fucking awesome. That is awesome. I love that. Music, I find, does the same thing. You get a lot of sometimes you get better play across the pond and in other countries. And you know, we're here in America where we're kind of snobby and don't really. But over there, man, they love all kinds of different things, and it's really fun to be able to do that and. Yeah, so on and so forth, but I don't know.
The guys who did that, I should mention, Daniel Murphy and Tom Commissar of HM&M Films are the guys who created all that. Dan and Tom play Slasho and Shago in the movie as well. Just absolute crazy, crazy guys that will do anything to... Okay, here's a story from that movie. Since we're going to tell stories, I'll tell you the worst story from the movie. So they built this gun that was basically a squirt gun with dildos on it. Cut this out if you need to, but this is a good story.
That's so a good wall piece.
It's literally a super soaker that just had a couple of dildos on the pump handle. So as he was doing this, they filled it up with one. There was like two different tanks on it. One had Mountain Dew and the other one had some sort of thickened Pepsi or something to look like bodily fluids. And so I, at this point, was not playing the clown. I was playing this sort of corrupt televangelist priest, Father Nelson. And our house had been invaded. He was, you know, taking out the girls that I had in the house. But the scene called for me to get the gun like in my face and everything. And Tom just, he, when he's in character, he just goes, he goes hard. And so I turn my head and here comes the dildo gun right for my mouth. And he just starts shoving it in my face. And it eventually I'm like, no, no, come on. And I'm like, okay, I get what he's doing. I'm just going to do it. So there's a shot in the movie of me with a full on dildo gun down my throat. But the secret to that is I had a mouthful of, they wanted me to have like the poop stuff in my mouth, which was chocolate pudding, mushroom soup, and corn.
Oh.
It was the worst tasting thing in history. So this is trapped in my mouth. And I can't breathe. Like Tom is literally making it so I can't breathe. So in the movie, you see me come out of that and I'm just like, and just, I literally puked all over this nice house down in Fishers that we were shooting at. And it was just terrible. But I it looks so good on film. We had, they kept it. And it was one of the many crazy stories from that. I got punched in the head, hit on the head with a hammer twice. The hammer handle, the foam flew off, so he cracked me on the skull with that hammerhead. So lots of good memories from that. I miss those guys. We haven't done a lot recently. They've had some, you know, everybody gets older. That's the thing about indie film is everybody kind of gets older and, you know, you do your own thing. And these guys have families of their own and stuff. And they've put more of the priority in that for the time being. But I hear that there's something coming from those guys. So maybe we'll get something there. That's another thing that's much like 80s horror and stuff too. A lot of the stuff they do.
Do you see, you've talked about this, they're kind of pushing back for that. Do you see that a lot more in some of the new stuff that's coming back, is that everybody's kind of revamping back to the 80s style, whether it be even costumes, but it, or whatever, but definitely the shooting of, you've seen a lot more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a style that people, you know, for people my age, I'm, you know, I'll be 41 this year. We grew up in that era. You know, Frankie, you were in high school, you said, mm-hmm. You know, we all love those movies. And the 80s, there was something specific about the 80s where parents would let their kids watch the most horrible stuff because it was always on TV. It didn't matter. But Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, all the classic horror movies of those years, we all got to see that on TV and enjoy it. And I think that the people who are into filmmaking now are either my age or maybe slightly younger, who had the same sort of upbringing. And we all loved that. And we couldn't understand why, you know, horror film got kind of bastardized for a while and just became this sort of sanitized thing. I want to see violence. I want to see that stuff. I don't think it creates any sort of certain type of people, or, you know, it's not going to make some kid go do something at a school. That's scapegoating. We don't need that crap. Art is art is art is right. Art. And if I don't like art, I hate Taylor Swift, but she has every right to make the art she wants to make. I'm just not going to consume it. It's the same thing with horror movies. You don't like the art, shut up about it. Let us do our thing, because we're always going to have an audience, just like Dummy Swift is going to have an audience. I have the Swifties coming after me. Again, me, not these guys.
We love Taylor here.
Yeah, well, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, so... you know, you're of course,
required by law.
Yeah, required. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But you want to get AC going? We also love Miley Cyrus.
I hate you so much, Frankie. next wrestling show I'm at, you're getting body slammed for that one.
Oh, snap.
Damn.
Wow, I didn't know that was a trigger point. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I have a real problem. I'm old school Frank Zappa fan, so I have a lot of problems with a lot of the way things have gone in entertainment. independent of his opinion, you just, everything the guy said came true about how art was just going to get bastardized over the years, and we're exactly where he said we were going to be. So it's because of people like that. And, you know, the industry, MTV, you know, for, again, we're talking about the 80s, MTV really changed the whole industry, and that's right. What started the decline of everything, you know, was MTV. And now the M in MTV stands for moron. So it's more on TV now. Like there's nothing on it that I don't ever flip through the channels. I'm like, well, you should see what's on MTV, because there's no music. You know, you guys, mm-hmm. You know, we're all music guys, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on. We want our music on TV. We want our MTV. We don't want the garbage that it's become. And it's the same with film. You know, people are going back to those styles because it's not there anymore. It's missing. And it's a terrible, terrible thing. We need to have variety. Art needs to be censored less in this country specifically. There's art that, like I said, there's art that I don't like. There's stuff you guys, I'm sure, see that you don't like or agree with, but we all know we can shut our mouths and move on from it. We don't have to be like, rah! But I'm still always going to gripe on the garbage I don't like, though, because I'm old and, you know, get off my mind.
And it's your right to do so.
Absolutely.
That's why we live in this country, so we can do that.
Yeah.
I find that MTV is just insanely, crazily stupid now. It's like they learned what reality TV, or quote unquote reality TV, was, and they just jumped like feet first into it, and fuck whatever else, you know, we started this channel for, which was for music videos, was for the TRL, trying to remember all the things we did. Headbangers Ball. Oh my God. I watched Headbangers Ball like crazy when I was a kid. And now, no offense, I love Rob Dyrdek. I think Rob Dyrdek is a genius for the shows that, you know, that he put out with Robin Big, and then on with the Fantasy Factory. And then the idea of Ridiculous to me was stolen from, what's that guy's name?
Bob Saget.
Tosh. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Tosh.0. Yeah.
I think he stole that from Tosh. But now when you flip on MTV, it's just a marathon of ridiculousness. And it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that every channel now, though? I mean, you know, True TV's and Practical Jokers all the time anymore. Right. And USA is between CSI and Law and Order. I mean, you just, that's the real problem with entertainment and art and in general, is people find something, they find the formula that works, and they just drill it in until it doesn't work anymore. But then there's the next thing that they've already, you know, done.
Right.
And it's just terrible. Like, you know, we need fresh art. This is why artists are getting discouraged. You know, people are going back to jobs that they hate because they don't think they can make a living being an artist. And it's really hard to do. You know, I still work a day job. Everybody I know that makes film on the independent level pretty much still works some sort of day job doing something, because we just can't afford to make our own way anymore. In some ways that's good, because film and music and everything, you know, producing that is much more accessible to everybody now than it was ever before in the past. But at the same time, it's also watered down the pool. So, you know, you do what you can, and you just, you know, I love the work I do. It's not for everybody. And if it's not for you, that's fine. I'm okay with that. It's the trauma mentality. Right. You don't have to like it. You know, we make our art and we do it, and then we go home at the end of the day and see our families.
Right.
Because most of us are weird family people.
So tell me a little bit about the wrestling aspect of your life a little bit.
So again, going back to the 80s, you know, I grew up with wrestling. I was one of the few things I had. I came from a very negative background, abusive childhood. Don't want to get into that, but I had pro wrestling. I had Ghostbusters. And I had some of the music that I still have, and the movies. That was what I had to get me through those times. So when I saw pro wrestling, these were guys that were these macho big guys that could, you know, really just beat up anybody, do anything they wanted. And so I just latched onto that. You know, Sting, the wrestler from WCW, who just retired this past week. Thank you, Sting. Not that he's going to watch, but maybe I'll send it to him. But he was one of my favorites growing up. I liked the bigger, you know, larger than life characters, the Road Warriors, anybody that was loud, and, you know, Macho Man with his, you know, weird promos. Like, nobody ever understood what the Ultimate Warrior was saying, but you had to like him because you were scared to death that he was going to come like eat your soul. You didn't know what was going on. But I always wanted to be a pro wrestler. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a pro wrestler. I wanted to do these things, and nobody could tell me that's not going to happen. So as soon as I got out of high school, as soon as I turned 18, I found a guy who trained me. Went out and trained, did some wrestling down in Marion, EWF with Jason Maples, ran my own promotions in Fort Wayne, a couple different ones for a while. And then I got injured, got spiked on my head. My neck got all busted up pretty bad. So I had to walk away. And then, years later, 2014, actually 10 years ago, 2013, 2014, FWF came to Warsaw, Indiana. And, I was working in radio at the time. And it just kind of dawned on me, hey, I should go out and do something. And instead of me coming in as the good guy from radio, we devised this whole thing to make me look like the good guy from radio, but really play up the Wallasey Warsaw rivalry in such a strong way that people were calling the radio station and threatening to stab me if I won the match. They actually changed the match. I was supposed to win that match. Spoiler alert. I did not win because, like, literally I had to stop promoting on air because it became a credible threat. Management was terrified that I was going to die in the ring. And even then I got my eye socket broken that match. So when I came into work on Monday, they thought, oh man, what happened? But no, wrestling has always just been, it's one of those things, like, it's fun. It's, you know, people harp too much on it. Well, it's not real, you know, no shit. Do you really think it's real? Cause if you do, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I can sell you too. Really good price. These people that say that, they don't understand. We watch movies. We watch all sorts of different entertainment. Those things aren't real. We know they're not real. It's entertaining. Does that mean I don't wake up every day with a sore neck and a sore back from the stuff I put my body through? Absolutely not. It's predetermined. Yeah, you're not really punching somebody full force in the face most of the time.
Right.
But, you know, you do that. And, but yeah, 10 years ago, we did this thing with FWF in Warsaw. And man, it was, I was just looking back on it today, actually. It was one of the funnest things I've ever done because I never worked a main event. I was never a good wrestler ever. I could do some things. I was more of a hardcore guy with the tables and ladders and all that stuff. But they gave me a real chance. And, you know, the day that I showed up for that show, Lightning Bolt Johnson told me, hey, we're going on last. And I'm like, I get a main event? What? And I didn't feel like I deserved it or anything, but they have always been so good to me. My son's now getting interested in the wrestling business. So bringing them down there to help set up the ring and, you know, will I come back to wrestling? I'm not saying it's not being discussed as far as a manager role, but I think my days of wrestling matches are done. I always wanted one more match down there. I wanted to wrestle Tank for the W title. Cause I have while we're seeing Warsaw, I have the W trophy. I have the W title, I have physical belt. That I've had for 10 years. You guys still haven't beat me, by the way. And none of you Warsaw people, I just want to point that out. Defeated you all. And Tank's really the last one that I haven't. So, you know, Tank, if you're watching, which I know you might be, it's out there. You want to do this? Let's do it. Throw up a cage because it's going to contain us in a cage. And we'll see what happens. But trying to book myself into a match I really don't want at this point.
I think you ought to have some special announcers for that from the Golden 80s podcast. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, again, I have no say. I always, like, this is what I do. This is how I get roles and I get things. I just throw it out there until I bug people enough. They're like, fine, come do it and shut up. So yeah. I'm going to get an angry call from Lightning Bolt Johnson here pretty soon. Don't talk about that ever again.
Dang it. Okay. Yeah.
Like
I know the wrestling ring pretty well. I grew up in that scenario with my dad and we spent a lot of time in Ohio working out of the Midwest Championship Wrestling deal. Yes, predetermined, but the bumps and the bruises and the bad backs and, like you said, eye sockets and necks, that stuff is real because, you know, I know what you guys go. I never did it myself. My dad never wanted me to do it because he knew the pain of, you know, of doing it. And so he was like, no, I don't want you doing that. You know, and I'm like, I'm right here. So I was always the ball boy, basically. Yeah. I would go, I'd go up and take all of the stuff, you know, his jacket or, you know, the belt or, you know, whatever the case may be. There's some videos out there of me running around like this little shit ass fucking 12-year-old kid running around picking up Al Snow's fucking lay or whatever that thing was called that he
would wear before up. He had the head.
That was way before he had head. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, that's so funny because, like, all these, you know, these guys that start, that, you know, like the guys that are on TV now, some of them I've started with, you know, when I got into it. Colt Cabana has been there for my son through some of the issues he's had up at Shriners Hospital in Chicago, and Colt was a guy who worked for me 20 years ago. Nigel McGuinness, same way, both AEW guys. Nigel and Colt wrestled the same show for me. AJ Styles and I shared a locker room. He kicked my ex-wife out of the locker room before he changed. So, I mean, like, just, it's just these weird things. And if I could go back and tell little scared, like 8-year-old me, you know, that's dealing with a lot, hey, you're going to do some pretty cool things in life. Just try and relax and, you know, you'll be even better. I would absolutely do that. So if you guys figure out the whole time machine aspect of going to the 80s, like, please, like, we're going.
We're working on it.
We're going to go back and tell Huey Lewis to wear ear protection so that he can continue to tour until he's 80. We have priorities.
Yeah.
You need to get with Phil Collins as well. Tell him to take it a little easy on the drums.
I mean, come
he
on.
You can do that, and that's it. You can just have somebody else play the drums. You can just sing. You can just be in the air tonight, and that's it.
I'm trying to figure out what the hell happened to Phil Collins, because he just looks absolutely horrific nowadays. Yeah.
I don't know.
I haven't looked up Phil Collins in a while.
Yeah, he's looking rough. I think he's wheelchair bound and all that good stuff, but.
It's sad to see some of our heroes go that way, but I mean, we all get older. We all fall apart at some point in time, and we do the best we can with what we're given and the time we're given. And that's what I'm trying to do, is just, you know, I want to do all these fun things and have a good time doing them, because, you know, I could wake up tomorrow or I could not wake up tomorrow. Same for you guys.
Yeah, what are we, absolutely.
Time we have, you know, and
tomorrow's
that's,
not promised.
You know, people who are watching this, and you guys, we've talked about a lot of things, but I can't stress it enough. And I'm that old guy that, you know, don't do what I did now, kids. I'm that guy. But in the same way, I'm like, if there's something you want to do, the world is not too small or not too big anymore. It's a very small world. You can get out there. You can do these things. You can get the approval of your heroes, your icons. You know, when we did the premiere of Kill Dolly Kill last year, Lloyd stopped me and he's like, you were hilarious. And to earn Lloyd's praise was huge for me, because that's the guy I wanted to impress, you know, from high school. And he's very hard to impress with independent actors. But when he stopped me and told me that, it was like, you know, that's validation that I was doing the right thing that I needed to do. And if anybody's watching this that wants to do something and you don't know how, find a way. You lie, cheat, and steal until you get in there. I got engaged to my current wife on the set of the TV show, The Originals, because I just happened to know somebody that worked there and it happened to be her favorite show. Just a simple question turned into a whole big engagement while they were filming with the cast. You know, it's the things that I'm putting us all into a book of eventually, just all these crazy stories. And it just goes to show you can do anything you want at any time you want. All you've got to do is just put in a little effort and find a way, because there's always a way. May take you a while, but there's always a way.
Hey, and I will say this. We have brought up AC's wife a few times.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to give anything away, but he married every teenage boy's fantasy. That's all I'm saying.
Really?
Frankie, damn it. Okay, so I'm not going to give anything away name-wise, but yes, my wife is a former adult film star, like a mainstream, not only fans.
When we get done, you're a spill on the beans. That's all I'm gonna say.
God, I don't see that. This is the weirdest thing, because literally, I don't think of her like that at all, like at all anymore. When I first met her, that's how I met her. She was in character, and so I met her, and you know, she's just like you see these women, and you're like, man, they're just so sexy and all this. She's weird as shit. Like, she's just like me, and it's the best thing ever. You know, we butt heads from time to time, but she's weird, and I couldn't have asked for anything more. I get to have this beautiful, weird wife that loves me and wants to be with me somehow. And I'm just so grateful. Like, but it's so weird. Like, cause every now and then, the town we live in, people know because it just, I mean, it's small town Indiana. People talk.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's weird every now and then when somebody brings it up still. Not that you didn't, you know, nothing weird, Frankie, from you. You know, but like here in town, they're like, aren't you so-and-so's husband? I'm like, yeah, I am. And people expect it to be like this magical, like sexual unicorn that's like, these women are nothing like they were in those movies. And I can say that confidently, having known several of them. Her best friend that did it with her at one point in time, I walked into my house, and this is every guy's dream. You walk in and there's two porn stars on your couch. What do you do? Well, in this case, they were both in sweatpants, had no makeup on, and probably hadn't showered for a couple of days. So you don't do anything. You just go and you just sit down and you just talk to them like normal, and people don't understand, like they can't wrap their heads around it.
I thought he was gonna say I delivered the pizza.
Had the pizza delivery person, that's bullshit. That is false advertisement. Yeah, that never happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I can definitely say I've brought my wife pizza numerous times and it's never led to anything except her having gas. So
I love that. Oh man. I think we probably ought to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I really don't want to, but I really, really don't want to. Can we do this again, AC?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you guys want me. I was actually planning on being down there with you guys in the studio, but unfortunately some things kind of got a little haywire with work and had to be up here. So, but next time, yeah, let's do this. Let's do it in person. Let's do a lot of weird stuff. I'll bring some weird stuff. I got a lot of weird stuff I can bring to show you guys.
He got his own museum. We'll have to talk about that next time.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would love to have you. Was actually looking forward to you being here this time. And but I'm so glad you can do
Avenger
this
track. But Toxic Avenger 84, everybody go check it out.
We just kind of got away from that. That's okay though.
We did talk about it a little bit. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's all good.
We stayed within the 80s for the most part. I mean, there was a lot of 80s stuff in there.
Yeah.
I am a child of the 80s, and that informs everything I do.
I agree with you. And I find that, you know, going back and looking back and remembering all those times has been a lot of fun, and especially doing this podcast and, you know, still learning things along the way that you didn't realize at the time, because we were young, you know. I was born in 73. So, you know, I was, you know, basically my teenage years were in the 80s, and there's a lot of shit I don't remember. So it's been a lot of fun doing this pod and remembering all these things. And I look forward to doing it for a long time. So,
yeah. Anytime you guys want me, I'm happy to come and hang out. And this is a lot of fun.
All right, man. We appreciate you so much being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Anything you want to lead out with there, Frankie?
No. Hey, just any ideas you got, AC, about, you know, to do a podcast about on the 80s, let me know.
Yeah.
And we'll get it on.
We'll do, man. It's
been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I thought I was going to do all the talking, but Jeremy just kind of, as always, takes over.
You know me. I fucking just run my mouth all the time.
And once again, complaints can come directly to me if you have something to complain about, especially you Swifties.
Nah, probably. You won't probably hear much, but we'll take some on the shoulders. We're okay with that. Let us know. TheGoldenImage80s@gmail.com. And go check out our website, Golden Mojo ENT. On there, you'll find all the podcasts in the Golden Mojo Empire, which include The Call Guys, Golden Image Podcast, The United States Paranormal, Indiana Chiefs Fans, Murd Nerds, and A Quarter Books and Booze. You know, there's tabs for all of it. There's a merch store for all of those. But what you want is a Golden 80s t-shirt, and they're on there. So go get yourself one. You know you want one.
The Frankie shirts aren't on there yet.
Well, we will work on that. Thank God. All right, guys. Thank you. AC, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll thank the listeners. And we will see you again next week. Later. We'll be right back.